The Garden Conversation, and I have Melissa and Jerry here with me today.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning, and a great morning it is.
I don't know why you picked morning margarita to play. This is not a margarita day. Way too cold.
It's a great day for gardening if you don't mind playing in the mud.
For sure. Well, today we have two questions and a complaint about kale. Then some just general discussion of what we're all dealing with in this alleged summer. Uh-huh. So,
well, I have a question about thistle.
Okay.
That came up is it's really pretty.
Uh-huh.
But it tends to bother you if you try to touch it.
Uh-huh.
And I understand it's invasive. So do you know anything about purple thistle?
Yeah, purple thistle is invasive. It's also known as Canadian thistle. And you're right, it is very pretty. One of our listeners sent in a question wanting to know how to get rid of it. And the directions that I got a number of years ago that I found pretty successful is to just keep cutting it down right close to the ground. As soon as you see it start to come up, just whack it down to ground level, and eventually that will weaken the root and the plant will die. But when you cut it down, make sure that you take all of the cuttings and dispose of them. Don't compost them, especially if it's gone to seed, but basically just get rid of it.
Those are the stickers, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of really nasty stickers on it.
Plant.
So you want to wear either leather gloves or double gloves when you're handling it, because it's really nasty.
Can you dig it up?
To handle. You know, I don't know. I think it would kind of depend on the soil that you have. A lot of us just have blue clay and rocks, and so digging is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to be a lazy gardener, so I find it easier to take some long-handled pruning shears and whack it down rather than digging it up. But you could try it.
So it's going to, if you cut it, it's going to keep coming back at you, but eventually it's going to lose its enthusiasm and
right.
Ultimately die.
Yeah, you just keep cutting off all of the, everything that comes up, just cut it right back down flat to the ground. As close to the flat to the ground as you can, and you're basically taking away all the energy supply when you're cutting off all the leaves and so on.
Is it edible?
I don't know. There is one thistle.
Wild thistle in Louisiana, when it first comes out of the ground, if you can identify the plant, you can cut it off and eat it like celery. You have to peel those sticky things off of it.
There is one thistle that I know is edible. It's called artichoke,
mm-hmm.
which is just basically a giant thistle. But I don't know about the others.
Well, this you eat the stem. Louisiana, you eat the stem. You harvest the wild
You eat a lot of strange stuff in
Louisiana. Yeah. You're right.
Crayfish.
Crawfish.
Okay, and then there's another question that just came in, hot off the press. How do you recommend getting rid of hawkweed the same way or not? And
hawkweed,
a caller wonders.
Is a real problem because it reproduces by underground stolons, by on-ground rhizomes, by seed. And basically, when you pull it up, if you leave part of the root, it can be root grown. So it is a phenomenally invasive, and unfortunately beautiful plant. So you really have your heart in your hand when you pull it up because it's pretty, but you recognize it's going to be taking the place of stuff that is probably a little better suited for the area or more appropriate for the area, not better suited.
Yeah, it's also an evasive, and so pulling it out and getting rid of it, the same kind of rules there. Don't compost it, especially if it's gone to seed. When I first moved here, I'll tell a tale on myself, I didn't know that hawkweed was invasive, and a friend gave me some, and I transplanted it in my garden because it did so well. So I became pretty good at figuring out how to pull the stuff out, but you can eventually get it knocked down.
Just keep pulling, keep pulling.
Just keep pulling and pulling. Yeah. Anytime you see it, Yeah, and there's a number of different invasive plants like that. Toksnuk Watershed Council, I know, has had some information and some invasive plant removal projects going on. And at the fair, the cooperative extension people always have some information on invasive plants, too. So it's always good to take a look at that and make sure that you're not nurturing that and putting bouquets of it in your house.
There is an exotic weed pull this Sunday at 2 o'clock at Faverty's house. So maybe that's one of the exotic weeds they're going to pull.
At where is it?
Faverty's house.
And where is that located?
On Mud Bay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, there you go. You can go learn all about it and pull weeds to your heart's content.
Is hawkweed, is that the one that has the pretty yellow orange flower?
Kind of orange, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've just recently been seeing that the past several years.
Yeah. There are places where it's just really, really awful.
Once it takes over a field, you bought the farm unless you revert to something like, on the air.
Yeah, you can flame burn it.
Roundup. Yeah. Flame burning will kill the top of it and keep it from seeding, but it doesn't kill the underground structure.
Right.
Okay. So
but
unless
again,
you keep at it.
Yeah, repeated applications of that. We had a cucumber question from one of our listeners. She's got a cucumber that she bought at the plant sale, didn't know the variety, has it in her greenhouse, and it's putting on flowers, but it's not fruiting, and she wondered what in the world's going on. So, Jerry, what kind of ideas have you got?
Well, cucumbers are funny creatures because typically that family of cucumbers and squash and stuff like that, when it blossoms, it first brings out male flowers, and that's to attract the pollinators and get them used to coming to the area before the female flowers open up. You can spot the female flower because it has a baby cucumber or a baby squash or a baby melon at the base of the flower, whereas the male flower just has a stem and then the flower comes. People have begun experimenting with, especially with the cucurbits, and they have developed varieties that are almost exclusively female. And those are called gynoecious. And if you have, when you buy seeds of a gynoecious cucumber, the packet will contain some seeds that have male flowers in them. So then you can get pollination, and it will occur. But if you don't have the male flower, either on that flower or on another flower, then it's not gonna seed. There's another kind of cucumber that's called parthenocarpic, that's self-fertile. So you don't need it. Even though all you get is female flowers, you do get fruit out of it without a male being around.
Okay.
So if you just buy a single plant, you really don't know what you have unless you know that the variety has both male and female flowers.
Okay. Now, I bought some of those. Well, I don't know if it's the same one, but I bought some cucumbers at the sale, too. And mine are only about 18 inches tall, but they're getting itty-bitty spiky cucumbers on them.
So that's going to work.
It's going to work. Yeah. It's just that they're not very tall. They're not viney like I was expecting them to be.
Well, that could be a climate issue.
Yeah.
Or it could be any number. It could be the size of the pot that you have them in.
I have them in the ground, actually.
Or it might be bush variety. I
mean,
some cucumbers are designed as bushes. It makes a single plant rather than a vine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So one of the things that's really important is to pay attention to the variety that you get, particularly for things like cucumbers, to make sure that it says that they are self-pollinating.
Okay.
Good tip.
Yeah. Because I have so many plants in my greenhouse, I don't even know what they are. I thought I would remember, but I didn't.
Yeah, it really... I don't think you're alone on that, Joni. We all kind of think, how could I possibly forget that? Oh, yeah, we do. So it's really important to keep notes of the varieties that you've planted, maybe have a map that shows where they are. Uh-huh. And then this time of year, we're now kind of, believe it or not, midsummer, start making notes on what's working and what's not working for you so that you won't make the same mistakes next year. And conversely, those things that are really successful, make sure you make notes on that too.
Well, I'll remember.
And okay. Oh, good for you.
And in your notebook, also write down what the weather has been like.
Because
last year we had such a wonderful summer.
Yeah.
Everybody felt like a successful gardener. This year we're all wondering, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's been interesting as I've traveled around and looked at people's gardens. Some gardens are just doing really well and some are not. And the ones that this year are doing well are either south facing, they're in raised beds, they're in greenhouses, they're covered with Remay, they've got good soil with a lot of compost and seaweed and whatnot mixed in with it. But this is a year that's much more challenging. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anybody who thinks that they know what they're doing gardening in this area is kidding themselves. Just wait 1 year and you're going to find out, no, I don't know quite as much as I thought I did. But take notes, and having some information about the kind of year really makes a difference, because last year it was hard to do wrong, and this year it's hard to do right.
And keeping notes for your garden is not unlike pulling up invasive plants. Don't fault yourself if you don't follow through the whole summer. Whatever you write down is going to be more than you're going to remember for the next year. And if the next year you happen to stumble across your notes, then it gives you some information about what you can do. But it really does help to pay attention to the varieties that you're planting and how successful they are, because that has a tremendous impact on the effectiveness and the suitability
for the following
for this
years.
Climate.
Yeah, I know a couple of years ago I discovered Sally's wonderful salad turnips at the farmer's market. And so I planted some last year and they were horrible. Nothing happened. So I changed to a different variety this year and they're doing really nicely, even though it's a lousy year. So yeah, it's really important to pay attention to those varieties. The third thing that we have is, I was talking to a friend the other day who was recommending planting kale in his yard because he's not here a good part of the summer and he just wanted something that would look good and and be edible when he did arrive back in town, and he does not like kale. So he felt that it was too bitter and too tough. The problem is this person spends most of the summer in warm climate and I think has had kale from there. But kale here, if you grow it in a shady,
delicious,
cool place, it's wonderful.
Yeah, you can make kale salad. You cut it up into, harvest the leaves. And here, typically, even the big leaves are tender. Mm-hmm. So you can cut them in ribbons and put it in salad and dress it with lemon juice and vinegar, or lemon juice and olive oil, salt and pepper, and you've got a wonderful salad. If you have a little Parmesan cheese to put on top of that, it's even better.
Good stuff.
Last night, Jean made kale pasta, where she blanched the pasta, blanched the kale for about 2 minutes, and then took it out, dried it, and sautéed some garlic and olive oil, put the kale in, and then threw in some cooked pasta. Again, you put a little Parmesan cheese on top of that. How can you miss?
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, and you can take some of the bigger, older leaves and chop them up and freeze them. And they're great in soups and stews and that sort of thing through the winter. This is turning into a cooking show. Those of you with good recipes might want to contact us and let us know some of the good recipes that you're using. And kind of related to that, this is a good time of year now to go through your freezer, pull out everything that is from last year or the year before or that your grandparents froze, you know, and make a stew, make a soup, do something with it.
Even make if you're 18 jars of jelly.
Use it up now. Even if you just take all of the vegetables and make a vegetable broth, and then refreeze that. But use up all that old stuff, and then as you're starting to put new things in there, label what it is. And label
you'll remember
the
it,
year.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, do not count on your memory. Yeah, so things are slow this year, but they are beginning to come on. I just had my first strawberry, Anway strawberry, out of my garden a couple days ago.
Yeah, oh, wow. I had one last night.
So good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So keep records. Have fun. Remember that that's what it's all about. Also, very quickly, reminder that the fair is coming up July 27th to 30th. Get those entries ready for the produce area. And remember that we will also have a garden tour at 9 o'clock on the Sunday morning of the fair.
Okay. Is there a category for the smallest cucumber?
That's a thought.
I would win that.
You better call the fair office and see if they want to add that in there.
Okay. All right. So email your questions to
garden@khns.org. We're always looking for your questions. And if you've got some good recipes, maybe email those to us and we'll start sharing some of those.
Thank you so much. Go on out and make it a productive day.
Yeah, I'm going to go turn compost.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Garden Conversation with Melissa and Jerry.